Mizmar Chaf Gimel. Mizmar LeDavid. We'll just touch upon some things. I didn't prepare all that much for this Mizmar. Mizmar LeDavid Hashem Roi Loi Echsar. Hashem is my shepherd. Loi Echsar, I don't want. Okay, it doesn't mean that. Loi Echsar, I am lacking nothing. When I acknowledge the fact, okay, that is old English. That's old. No, that's not today's modern 21st century English. Okay, that's old 19th century English. Okay, I have no want. No want. Okay, it's not the way. No one today would translate. No one today in the 21st century would translate the pasuk using that, even though that's the way what it really means. But it means today, I'm lacking nothing. Loi echzar. When I acknowledge that Hashem is my shepherd. Okay, everybody say. When I acknowledge Hashem takes care of me, loi echzar, I'm lacking nothing. Ribbono shel olam, we find all over Tanakh, everybody say, please. Serves in many different roles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sometimes called Avinu, our father. Sometimes he's called Malkeinu, he's called our king. Sometimes Hashem is our mother. Kasher Yisa Ho'oimein Es Hayonek. A wet nurse. Hashem is our mother. Sometimes the Shechina is our Kala with a Chassan, and the Shechina Shabbos, the Shechina is a female, and with a Chassan. Sometimes, Adarav, Hashem is the Chassan. By Matan Torah, Hashem is the Chassan, and we are the Kala.
Hashem is Melchama.
Hashem is a general. Hashem is the general. Warrior. He is the general warrior, but not just the warrior. He's the general, and we are the privates. We are the soldiers. So the Ribbono Shel Olam appears to us in so many different roles, and every single role, Hashem, every role, Hashem, a different type of role, a different. Here we are introduced to a different, a new role, another role where Hashem is a shepherd. It's a different dimension. It's a different role to be a shepherd versus being a father, a mother, a rebbe, a gibor, a general, a wet nurse. What do you say?
A protector.
So what's a protector? What is that protector? A guard. What do you find Hashem is a protector?
A guardian.
A guardian. Okay, many different roles. And Hashem is also a god, by the way. Let's not forget that besides being a mother, father, a wet nurse, a general, a protector,
a judge,
a shofet, Hashem is also a god. Okay. He's also that. Let's not forget about that. And Hashem is a God of mercy. Hashem acts in the role only one God of Rachmanus. And then there's Hashem who is tough. He's a God of strict justice. Midas Hadin doesn't take any nonsense. So many different roles. Hashem wears many hats. And Hashem in this Mizmar is presented in the role of a shepherd. Do you have this anywhere else? You have this image
exactly
of being a shepherd. We are the sheep. Anu ame atar re'enu.
Leaders.
But I'm talking about enough.
They're on the job training as shepherds.
I'm correct, but I'm talking. I mean, do you have this description of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Chumash? In Chumash is Hashem being our shepherd. Do you have this anywhere else in Chumash? No, you have in Chumash. Hashem ish melchama, Hashem gibor, Hashem ish melchama, by Kriyas Yamsuf. You have Avraham Avinu. Hashem appears to Avraham Avinu when he appears as God. Hashem appears to Moshe Rabbeinu in the burning bush, Kel Shakai. In Chumash, you have Hashem appearing to different people in different forms, depending on the situation. Do you have anywhere in Chumash an image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing to Klal Yisrael as a shepherd? This is very unique. Dov, in all of the art, these beautiful illustrations of Tehillim, they show David as a shepherd. David is always depicted as a shepherd. Isn't that very common? Or with a harp, or both together. He's a shepherd on the job and out in the fields playing the harp. David's a shepherd. Obviously, you put yourself in, you paint Hashem in your own image. Isn't that a very common phenomenon? Everyone, when they, artwork, I told this, we had this many times in art, I went to a very, very fascinating exhibit online about the depiction of Yashka throughout history. Art, all the famous artists, everyone, you weren't a famous artist unless you painted a portrait of Yashka. So what does Yashka look like? No one knows. No one knows. No. Everything is a big lie, a big mystery. So, what did every artist do? He painted Yashka in the image of his generation, of his community. If in that community they wore a certain type of garment, so that's how he depicted him in his portrait. The facial features were always a reflection of society. This is human nature. You display or you project in someone else yourself, whether you realize it or not. David was a shepherd. This is what he was. David his whole life. David, where's David? Oh, he's in the field. When Shmuel came to anoint David, David, as we said, was the mamzer. They really, really believed he was a mamzer because of the maisa with his mother. Yishai separated from his wife and instead was planned to live with a shifcha. And the shifcha was loyal to Yishai's wife. And the shifcha told Yishai's wife that Yishai is going to be with her that evening. And she said, I don't want to get in between you and him. You go instead. And Yishai's wife was there, and Yishai didn't know this. He thought he was living with a shifcha. He was poirish from his wife. And then guess what? Vayi hayom, did you hear that Yishai's wife is pregnant? She's pregnant? I never gave her a divorce. I have not lived with her in a considerable period of time. That means that the child's a mamzer. There's no other way. I never gave her a divorce. I didn't live with her. How is she pregnant? She's an Eishes Ish. She's the child's a mamzer. Vayihi hayom, there was a mamzer. David was born. So David was a mamzer. So what did Yishai do with this mamzer? What he thought it was a mamzer? He sent them out into the field to be a shepherd. Where? In the most dangerous territory in the world, where there are lions and bears roaming around. And therefore, it's just going to be a matter of time until all of a sudden the police knock on the door and say, we have bad news to tell you that your son was killed by a lion. But you know what happened? Instead of the police coming and telling him the bad news, every night David came home, look what I caught today. Here's a bear, here's a lion. Can you imagine what his bedroom looked like? All those bears and lions on the wall? David was a shepherd. And he was rejected by his brothers. And when Shmuel came to announce, Hashem told me that one of your children is to be the new Melech of Klal Yisrael. They lined him up. They lined them all up. Seven of them. And each one was better than the next. And Shmuel said, oh, for sure. For sure, the Bechor is the Melech. And Hashem says, no, he's not. The next one, no, he's not. They went through all seven. Hashem rejected all seven. So Shmuel says, maybe there's another brother? Maybe you guys have another brother? We do, but he's a mamzer. Bring the mamzer. Let me take a look at him. They brought the mamzer, and Hashem says, this is it. The beautiful words, Neged, Panecha, Meshichai. But what? He's a mamzer? What? How could it be? Steps in the mother. It's always the women. The women always save Klal Yisrael. The mother of Yishai, the mother of David says, remember that night you thought it was the Shifcha? It wasn't the Shifcha, it was me. He's not a mamzer. Now, is she believed? Rabbi said, we learned this yesterday. According to everything that we learned yesterday, she's not believed. That's what comes out yesterday. According to everything
we have someone to make.
I shouldn't say that.
She is a mamzer.
Okay, this is going to get into the topic later on. Why was she believed? This is very good. Why was she believed? Remember, anyone have the story clear? What? Why is she believed? I'll give you a maisa, the very famous maisa. I remember Dr. Victor. Dr. Victor always told me this maisa, Alan Gross. Dr. Victor, he's not so well now. He's in Muncie. He's very, very sick. Shabbat Shalom. He always told me this maisa where at a wedding, he wasn't at the wedding, but he told me, I don't know, for some reason he liked this maisa. There was a wedding, and it was a regular yeshivish wedding, and Rav Moshe was the Mesader Kedushin. And under the chuppah, the mother says, calls over Rav Moshe, under the chuppah, and she tells Rav Moshe that the boy that's getting married to this girl is a mamzer. She had him from an affair. She's an Eishes Ish, and the husband thinks that it's her child, that it's his child, but she knows as a fact that she had an affair, and this chosan that's shuckling there under the chuppah and the kittel and the black hat is a mamzer, is not the child of her husband. She had an affair. So Rav Moshe says, this is what she tells Rav Moshe under the chuppah as they're about to begin the ceremony. Rav Moshe listens very carefully to what she says. He takes the cup of wine and he says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Boirei Pri Hagafen. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Like nothing happened. She's not Neman.
I heard he said, you're not believed. You're not
she's
believed.
Not Neman. It just ignore. Why? That's not Lachat. Shulchan Aruch. A woman is only Neman. A woman cannot. There's a presumption. There's a, until now. We'll discuss this later on in more detail. That is the halacha. There are three people that are neman to testify about a person's yichus: the yoledes, the mialedes, the OBGYN, the mother, and the father. The mialedes is only neman at that zman. Let's say two kids get mixed up, two children get mixed up, two people giving birth at the same time, they get mixed up. The one that's neman to testify whose is who is the mialedes only at that moment. Tomorrow, she's already not neman anymore. The mother is neman for 7 days until the bris milah. And after the bris milah is over, the only one that is neman on the child, la halacha, is the father. That's what it says in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch. Why? A very interesting reason, but I think the Beis Yosef says, not even, why is only the mother neman only for 7 days? Because until the bris milah, the father doesn't even look at him. The father is busy going to the store to buy diapers, formula, if you can find, and looking by bringing the Shalom Zachar. The only one that deals with the child until the bris milah is the mother. After the bris milah, then the father already has to get involved in raising the child. The only one that is known as the child. So here's the question I'm asking you. This is a very famous medrash which talks about David. And David, we have a mizmor that David was hated. David was hated. And David was sent out into the field to be a shepherd in a dangerous territory that he should die. He should die. And as we had this whole discussion of it, that's exactly what David did to Uriah. David did to Uriah what they did to him. When David took Uriah, and then Bathsheba, and he realized, I'm in trouble. So what did David do? He sent Uriah to the front lines. How did he know how to do that? Who taught him that? His brothers taught him that. His father taught him that. That when you want to get rid of somebody, you send them into a place of danger, and Mimela, you'll get killed. Because that's exactly what his father and his brothers did to him, because his father and his brothers firmly believed that he was a mamzer. And then when Shmuel came and revealed that he is the Melech HaMashiach, and everyone was in utter shock, cannot possibly be, then his mother came forth and says, that's right, he's not a mamzer, he's a miyuchas. Where was she until now? How come she wasn't concerned that David's going to die in the field? It's a pella. Well, why did she first step up? They were trying to kill him. They were trying to kill David. Why didn't David's mother try to protect him? Try to pretend they should not get killed. The only reason why they sent him to the forest, into the field, was to get killed. They wanted him to die.
Was he safe at the end at home?
Was he?
Yeah.
Very, very, we have to ask her. Rav Meir's going to have tonight a chaloim. She's going to come to you and she's going to tell you why didn't she protect him. So you're saying it's because it was more dangerous at home? Who knows? But the bigger halachic question, al pi halacha, she's not neman. Who says that she is neman? So you say she is an amalta. An amalta is called an excuse. An excuse. We'll discuss later on. This is all part of our topic we go after the break. Why was she neman? So you have to answer to a degree that a woman is only. So what? That's better than DNA. Oh, so you want to come on to DNA testing? They did DNA. She was in Nevuah.
Hashem told them that's the one.
Okay, so that's maybe mahalach. Torah b'shamayim. Everything has to be backed up by halach. Min hashamayim ruach hakodesh Nevuah is all beautiful, but that's not halacha. Everything in this world has to be backed up by solid Shulchan Aruch. Just because Shmuel says that this is the Mashiach and Hashem says he is A-OK, excuse me, Torah lav b'shamayim. Everything has to be backed up in Shulchan Aruch. Why was his mother, why was she Neman?
She had a simon from that night.
What?
She had a simon.
Doesn't say. So the, I'll give you a much easier answer. A much easier answer, which we'll discuss later on, is that although it says in Shulchan Aruch, her mother is not Neman, it's only she's not Neman to pasul, but she's Neman to say that it's a kosher. When it says in Shulchan Aruch that a woman is a mother is not believed, like in the case of the servant of Moshe, say, you know, you think this is a nice, this is the best bachur and brisk. This is not the best bachur and brisk. He's a mamzer. She's not neman to passel, to disqualify. But a mother is believed to say something positive, to say something that he's not a mamzer.
Where do we see that?
So we'll discuss that. Isn't that she is believed? And here, especially when she gives an amasla lidvarov, an amasla means an excuse, a very solid, logical reason why she did not reveal this information until now, and she let it slide until now. She gives a solid argument as to why, until now, she was silent. Then a mother is believed to testify that her child is someone good, is a kohen, is not a mamzer, a regular Jew, even though the presumption until now is that he's not a Kohen, the presumption is that he's a mamzer, he's a cholom, he has problems with yichus. Now she could step up and testify what the MS is. So David's mother here did at this point in time testify that he's not a mamzer. That contributes to the fact that she was believed. Now that's not the point I want to make. The main point you want to make over here is that David, for a good part of his youth, and the youth, you know, we all know ourselves, that the years of childhood define who you are. One day in the life of a child is like a month by an adult. It's really very, very true. What happens to a person, that's how careful parents have to be with children. Parents don't realize that a person, who he will be, is very much dependent upon what happens in his childhood. Small little things in a person's childhood define who they are. And they said, this made an impression upon me about a year ago, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, the Rosh Shiva and the president of Yeshiva University, passed away. How long ago was it? It was over a year ago already, probably more than a year ago. And one thing that came out in the Hespedim that I heard over and over again is, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb was driven. He was a driven person. He accomplished incredible things. And they asked him more. He said, what gives you this drive? Like, he didn't waste a second. He's an incredible person. He didn't waste a second. They don't even know how he was able to do something. They have on record, like, he used to write letters. I actually have a letter at home. I have a letter. My father invited him to my bar mitzvah. My father taught him YU. He was a professor in YU. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb gave my father tenure in record time. And my father had for him incredible hakaras hatayiv his entire life. To get, you know what it means to get tenure in college? It's impossible, literally impossible. And he liked my father very much. He was very kind, and he put him on a very fast track to get tenure. And he got tenure 1, 2, 3. And my father was very appreciative. And all my father's books, he wrote the foreword for all the books. And he came, and my father was nifter. He was already very sick. And one day I'm sitting there, I'm sitting shiva, and I look up, who is this? Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb? I couldn't believe it. He came all the way from Washington Heights. He was a zaken, he wasn't well, with a cane. He came to Menachem Aval. I couldn't believe it. Could not believe it. Took him to my mother. I tried to give him kavod malachim. So he was driven. Why was he driven? So he said many times that when he was driven, because when he was in third grade, I think he said it was third grade, maybe it was even first grade, there was a boy in his class that he was very close with, a friend who died. Suddenly died. He had a classmate. Can you imagine going third grade, a friend, and one day he just dies. Something happened to him. Got sick. 1, 2, 3, he's dead. He said his whole life, that is what changed his life. He was a third grader. His whole life is ahead of him. He's supposed to accomplish many things. Get married, have children, like all the other adults. He just died like this. He said that it affected him so much. You never know when you're going to go. You can go at any moment. And at that moment in time, it changed him. It affected him. Like, you have to chaperein. And it affected him to such a degree that his entire life he produced at record accomplishments because of that maisa when he was in third grade. So, and that is so true for every single person. Every single person, what happens to you in your youth affects you for your entire life, whether you realize it or not. And if only the parents and Rebbeim realize that it's happening in the kindergarten, happening in their classroom, is having such a major effect on these children, how it's going to mold their life, can you imagine how much more careful you would be? Which adults, you can say whatever you want. Adults, you can joke around and make latsanis. But children, you're dealing with wet cement. A child's mind is wet cement. David's entire youth, he was persecuted. From the moment he was born until the moment he became melech, which was, he became melech, how old was he when he became melech? It says Beferish, I forgot what it says. It says Beferish how old he was. It was a young person. He was king for 40 years. He was 30 years. He was 30 years old. David became king when he was 30 years old. Until he was 30 years old, no one looked at him. In fact, they thought he was a mamzer. It's interesting. Who else was 30 years old and became king? Yosef. Yosef was 30 years old when he became the viceroy of Melech Mitzrayim. David was 30 years old when he became Melech. On Rosh Hashanah, how many koilos do we blow? The Mikradin? 30 koilos. How many psukim do we read on the Musaf? 30 psukim. The number 30 is the number of Malchus. You see all over, wherever you look, wherever you turn, you see the number 30, 30, 30. Every time you find the number 30, you're going to find their Malchus. For some reason, that number has something very, that Malchus. And what was he in all those years? No one wanted to give him a job. He was a nothing. He was a shepherd. That's what he did until he was 30 years old. He was a shepherd. Now he grows up. Okay, now he becomes the Melech of Klal Yisrael. And now he writes Tehillim. What does he project upon Hashem? Himself. David sees Hashem, he sees Hashem as an extension of himself, or vice versa. He sees himself as being in the Tzelem Elohim. And if David's whole life was being a shepherd, Hashem is a shepherd. This is the human condition. You don't find this. I'm not aware anywhere. I don't know anything, but from the rule that you've come across, you don't find this description of Hashem as a shepherd anywhere else except by David. David is unique. He's the one that describes Hashem as a shepherd. Everywhere else, Hashem is a God. Hashem is a father. Hashem is Kasher Yisa Ho'oimenes Hayonik. You project upon others yourself. When David talks about Hashem, he's talking about himself. This Mizmor, you know why it's so popular in Tehillim? It's not just about Hashem. The reason why this Mizmor stands out head and shoulders above every other Mizmor in Tehillim is because Tehillim is David. What did he say? Tehillim. David. Okay, if you're an artist, what are you going to put on the cover of Tehillim? David. Either David playing a harp, or David as a shepherd, or some other idea that you have. But it's going to be David. David is Tehillim. Va'ani sefila. What is David? David is a shepherd. That's what he was his whole youth, 30 years. Now when David's going to describe Hashem, he's projecting upon Hashem himself. Thus, when it says, Mizmar leDavid, Hashem Roi'i, you are my shepherd. Loi echsar. This is the core. This is the mamish, the inner core of what Tehillim is. Because Tehillim is David's Va'ani Sefila. And if David is a shepherd, and David is projecting Hashem as a shepherd, David is really talking here from the heart. He's talking here from his entire essence of who he is. And it's like that with every person. Every person, if you're a computer programmer, then you see in Hashem code. You see code. You see object-oriented sakachu. Years ago, I used to heavily steeped in programming. Now I know nothing. I can't even code one line. But I used to know some of this stuff. object-oriented programming. It's incredible chachma, incredible chachma. Okay, today all the technology, all the work is in AI, artificial intelligence. When I stopped the last time I was in the academic world in Brooklyn College, that's when AI was first beginning to bud, and now it's all about AI, artificial intelligence, which is an entirely different world of programming code. But when you get involved in something, you see it in the world, in nature, in Hashem, and that's, you project upon Hashem who you are, and that's exactly what the mahus of this mizmor is all about. All right, we'll stop with that. That's our hakdama for this mizmor. And in Yirtz Hashem, tomorrow we will delve into the details. Okay, we'll take a short break, and then we're going to continue part two of Yichus of Kohanim, Emor El HaKohanim B'nei Aaron.